It's no surprise that people do sometimes go missing in the wilderness, including America's national parks. But one notion, called the missing 411, claims that inside the parks, that number is much higher than it should be, and that the National Park Service covers up these disappearances. Is this true, or does the data say it's just another unfounded conspiracy theory? That's up next on Skeptoid. Head on over to skeptoid.com/store and explore the Skeptoid store where curiosity meets cool. We have books, socks, shirts, hoodies, and more. Check out our slick new Bigfoot design, where the mystery of this legendary cryptid never looked so good. And while you're here, don't forget to grab a Skeptoid USB drive, your portal to all episodes and all our movies, now including the UFO movie They Don't Want You to See. That's not all we have planned. We have a lineup of way more cool stuff coming soon. So head on over, skeptoid.com/store, and snag your swag. This episode of Skeptoid is sponsored in part by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. You're listening to Skeptoid. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com. The Missing 411. You may or may not have heard of the so-called Missing 411 conspiracy theory, but whether you have or not, it does make what initially appears to be a compelling case. Missing 411 is the creation of David Pilates, a Bigfoot evangelist, and it's the name he has chosen to describe what he believes is a large number of people who have gone missing from inside U.S. national parks over a period of many decades, many of them in unusual or inexplicable circumstances, and nearly all such cases either denied or covered up by the National Park Service. Pilates has compiled a frighteningly huge number of such disappearances and has been quite open with his inability to get a satisfactory explanation from the Park Service. So today we're going to listen to his claims, compare them against verifiable facts, and see if missing 411 is a real thing, or if it's the theory's own substance that's what's actually gone missing. Many have observed that the name missing 411 is confusing. Pilates has not, to my knowledge, explained what it refers to, but the consensus best guess is that it means information about missing people, 411 being the number to dial for telephone information in the United States. It's nothing to do with 411 people missing, just to clear up an obvious point of confusion. David Pilates himself is an interesting character. He's done Coast to Coast AM and quite a few podcast interviews, so it's easy to hear him talk about his theory if you want. He had worked as a police officer in San Jose, California until 1996, when he was charged with a misdemeanor and subsequently fired. Shortly thereafter, he began self-publishing books about Bigfoot and did Bigfoot business under the name North America Bigfoot Search, LLC. He became a leading proponent of Melba Ketchum, who made extravagant claims in 2013 of having discovered Bigfoot DNA, despite having no relevant background in the field, and who invented her own scientific journal to publish her own paper because no actual journals would. But it was when he began self-publishing his books on Missing 411 in 2012 that he finally made a name for himself. Bigfoot was old news, but a new claim of thousands of missing people and a government cover-up were fodder for instant internet and paranormal celebrity. Since then, he's published at least 10 books on Missing 411, more books evangelizing the reality of Bigfoot, and at least two Kickstarter-funded documentary films, all produced under his North America Bigfoot Search moniker. Although Politis's writings are almost entirely about disappearances in national parks, the total number of disappearances he gives, about 1,600, includes missing persons from all federal lands, which is a much larger area. As anyone who hikes or backpacks knows, people go missing in wilderness areas all the time. There are simply too many mistakes that an inexperienced person can make, and too many sources of danger that can strike anyone, regardless of experience level. Obviously, people can get lost. People can get sick or injured and be unable to hike out. Weather and the elements can strike. Cars can get stuck, roll over, blow a tire, overheat, and strand their passengers anywhere. And out at the long tail of the curve are even predatory animals and people. All of these result in missing persons reports, and the larger national parks have to respond to these literally every single day during their busy seasons. The vast majority of such people are found, usually alive, but sometimes too late. And, unfortunately, sometimes never. The elements, decomposition, and especially predation can eliminate the evidence very quickly. And so, regardless of whether there's a conspiracy or not, it's a certainty that some people will go missing in national parks, and some of them will never be found. And predictably, that's exactly what we observe. So the question becomes one of whether people are disappearing more often than should be expected. National park attendance varies wildly, season to season and year to year. But most, not all, track their numbers of visitors, and it should be possible to compute the percentage. It is important to point out that the cases Politis talks about are real cases. He didn't make any of this up. Data scientist Kyle Polish took a sample of many of the cases from the books, and verified that they are all real, and that Politis did report them accurately. But for all the research Politis has done tracking down every shred of information about missing persons in national parks, he has never taken this most obvious first step to check whether the number of missing persons is actually high or unexpected. In fact, he never, in any of his books, claims that the disappearances happen at an unexpected rate. Instead, his claims are more exotic. In a 2021 paper, student Madeline Oster analyzed these. In summarizing some of his claims, she writes,
Politis has proposed the following claims over the years, that people who go missing are either particularly young or old, that they tend to have Germanic surnames, that they tend to be highly educated, that they tend to be mentally ill or physically disabled, and more recently, that they were wearing red when they went missing. Often bodies are found partially undressed or wedged in crevices, and that it's particularly strange when remains or clothing is found near water or up high on hills.
Are you ready to take your Skeptoid experience to the next level? Head on over to skeptoid.com/gopremium. To become a proud member and unlock a world of exclusive benefits. Picture this: ad-free listening and extended versions of every new episode, diving deep into the mysteries and real truth without interruption. Take this opportunity to elevate your journey and join the Skeptoid community today. Skeptoid.com/gopremium. She then proceeded to disprove Politis' own conclusions, using the information presented in his own research.
Politis doesn't offer any data to support his claims. However, looking at 243 different cases, all of which come from a wide range of decades and scenarios, it becomes very clear that a lot of his claims are incorrect. Though not much can be said in the way of Germanic surnames or wearing red, what's most common is that middle-aged Caucasian men go missing. Out of the 243 cases observed in this instance, 189 were male, 132 were between ages 20 and 59, and 220 were Caucasian. Over and over again, these men were allegedly experienced hikers, had some form of pre-existing health issue, or were of the age where underlying health issues become problematic, or were actively engaging in dangerous trails. The polar opposite of what Politis claims.
Other researchers have pointed out that many aspects of the cases have explanations that are well known, just apparently not to Pylades. One example is the people who strangely took off some of their clothes. Search and rescue people will tell you this is common. It's called paradoxical undressing, and it's something people sometimes do in the final stages of hypothermia as they experience vasoconstriction. They feel hot and loosen or remove their clothes. Pylades has indeed been diligent about trying to get to the bottom of the disappearances he believes are inexplicable. He has filed many FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act, with the National Park Service requesting their records of missing persons, but has been stonewalled every step of the way. My first question was whether the National Park Service was the right agency to ask. There isn't a single clear answer to this. There are different kinds of park rangers, from the seasonal employees who mostly do maintenance, to the helpful guides at the visitor center desk, to the professional experts who protect park resources, all the way up to National Park Service law enforcement rangers, known as U.S. Park Rangers. These officers are fully trained law enforcement and are also empowered to enforce state laws. Their job is a serious one. In fact, U.S. Park Rangers are killed in the line of duty at a higher rate than any other federal employee. There are currently fewer than 2,000 U.S. Park Rangers, about one for every 200 square kilometers of parkland over 423 national parks. They are comically understaffed. So most national parks, everyone is different, have agreements with local law enforcement agencies who have authority to enforce certain types of crimes within the parks. There's a requirement in place that serious incidents, including critical missing persons or Amber Alerts, be reported to the Department of the Interior's Office of Law Enforcement and Security, OLES. But this applies only to Department of the Interior personnel, not state or county law enforcement. Thus, many cases would never get input. In addition to that, most or all of these agencies are members of NLETS, the National Law Enforcement Telecommunications System, which is a national clearinghouse of law enforcement data. While missing persons reports that become criminal investigations would indeed all be entered into this system, to find them you'd need to search by specific data, like the missing person's name or driver's license. It doesn't really have search functions like, "Show me everyone who was reported missing in Yellowstone National Park last year." The query result formats, which are available on their wiki, don't include fields like what type of land use a crime was committed on, private, commercial, national park, and so on. So when David Pylades or anyone else asks who had responsibility for some particular missing person report, it might take a bit of digging to find out even that basic fact in every individual case. The expectation of getting a single clean list of all missing persons from all national parks might seem straightforward enough, but the more you know about National Park Service law enforcement, the less you expect it to ever be practical to assemble any such list. Polish did confirm that Pylades had indeed made all the FOIA requests he claimed he did, and that at least some of them were denied. While Pylades asserts a cover-up conspiracy, a review of what data the National Park Service might actually be able to provide suggests a more mundane explanation. They simply don't have it. At the end of the day, I find that the missing 411 non-mystery is a virtual clone of the Bermuda Triangle non-mystery. Check out the similarities. You've got a patch of ocean where planes and ships sometimes go down, and the U.S. Coast Guard finds that the numbers are no higher than the rest of the world. And though some are lost without ever being found, the majority have perfectly natural explanations. Pylades cites missing persons reports from national parks, and not even he asserts they are at an unexpected rate. And though a few are never found, the majority all have one of the usual explanations. The Bermuda Triangle would be unknown if it were not for the efforts of a few imaginative authors who cited actual disappearances and then made all sorts of insinuations of mysterious conditions and inexplicable circumstances, cloaking ordinary but tragic events with an air of mystery. Missing persons in national parks would never have received any undue attention had not David Pylades done exactly the same thing, taking ordinary but tragic events and making all sorts of insinuations about them to weave an air of undeserved mystery. And that's where I think the Missing 411 fictional universe should be left. Some ordinary events made interesting only by one author's layer of false intrigue. But you know who's neither ordinary nor false? Skeptoid's premium supporters like Lena Schiller, Dean Bertram, Ivan Dubroyan from Moskva, and Bob Douglas. Becoming a premium member is the best way to enjoy Skeptoid. Not only do you get a special podcast feed with 800 episodes, all ad-free, you can also get the nifty Skeptoid USB 3.0 flash drive, preloaded with all the podcasts and movies we've ever produced. It's easy to get. Just come to skeptoid.com and click Go Premium. As long as you've got your podcast app open right now, please take a second and give Skeptoid a rating. It really does help with the discovery algorithms that suggest Skeptoid to new listeners. And we all know how much they need it. You're listening to Skeptoid, a listener-supported program. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com.
From PRX.